ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, November 1st. Change your calendars, November 1st, 2017. I'm Doug Hagmann, Joe Hagmann with me. Together we're something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, reporting from our studios, radio and television studios in beautiful Northwest, beautiful but blustery, actually, Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's our flagship program. And folks, check out, if you haven't done so, check out our individual shows. Mine airs from 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, on Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network. And Joe and John from 2 to 3, same platforms, Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network as well. And you know what? Tell us what you think, guys. Go ahead and send an email to studio@hagmannandhagmann.com. Two N's, by the way, on Hagmann. Just to let us know what you think about our individual programs, and like some feedback from that. You know, we're touching so many countries right now. Collectively, I think we've got a majority of the free countries all across the world, and it's really nice to get feedback, and let us know what you think of our programs. Again, the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, and then of course the Hagmann Daily with John and Joe. So 5 hours of programming every day, and that's what we bring to you. Don't forget our website, HagmannReport.com, and then we've got social networking as well, obviously. Follow us on Twitter at Hagmann Report. You can follow me at Hagmann PI. You can follow Joe. You can follow Tech Eric, as a matter of fact. You just follow all of us. Stalk us. Go ahead. A lot of news to get into tonight. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be starting off with Lisa Haven here shortly. LisaHaven.news is her website. And then the second hour, we've got a real treat for you, and that's Bill Martinez, one of the fastest growing syndicated conservative talk show hosts in America today. Bill Martinez, if you haven't heard of him or heard him, you're in for a real treat in hour number two. But starting off, of course, if you've been following the New York City terror attack, this guy, the perp, I'm not even going to say his name, and I can even pronounce it, but I'm not going to give him that dignity. Is bragging at his bedside about the terror attack he did, and it's come out where an imam of a mosque repeatedly warned Mayor Bill de Blasio about various terrorist hotbeds. And Joe and I have been in this area, really from New York City, from Brooklyn to Patterson, New Jersey, City.
A lot of Patterson.
Yeah. And the thing is, according to this particular imam, and I quote, "I was ignored." He did nothing. He did nothing, meaning de Blasio did nothing. And then we find out that the feds interviewed this Islamic terrorist in 2015 during the Obama regime, while James Comey was the director of the FBI. You think that there's any problem there? So there you have it. That alone should cause anger, righteous anger, at the lack of response both by de Blasio and what was the FBI doing. Now, I can understand, perhaps I can give the FBI a little bit of slack, given the fact that, well, if he didn't commit a crime, but certainly there should have been some surveillance. But don't forget the pushback by the Council on American Islamic Relations and even the progressives in the government, whether it's the state government, federal government, or in this case, the city government, the city of New York. So having said that, that's where we're at there. And there's discussions. It was interesting. Joe, you saw the, I don't know if you saw the news conference. I think you did, where, the question was asked, you know, is he a candidate for Gitmo? And, the the response was, well, we really haven't addressed that yet, but certainly why not? And I don't know. I think that we need to be doing something that we haven't been doing over the last decade, or since, or over the last 16 years, and that is treating these terrorists as the terrorists that they are. Thoughts?
Well, no, I saw Judge Napolitano's thoughts on the enemy combatant part of this, and he says it's against their constitutional rights. And I agree to some extent, except when you're dealing with somebody who actually carried out an attack and promoted ISIS as the reason, saying they did this because, you know, they're trying to further the agenda of ISIS. To me, that puts you in a whole other category, and the guy's proud of doing it. What more needs to be said? Put him in Guantanamo.
And I respect, I'll tell you what, Joe, I respect Judge Napolitano for his constitutional knowledge. And so having said that, I would defer to him how it would apply constitutionally. But
well, I agree. You can't put suspects in there. But somebody who's committed a terror attack, who's pledged their allegiance and said they've done it for ISIS, who is from another country, I think, you know, in order, how else are you going to deter these types of attacks from happening?
Well, exactly.
If this even does, I don't know. Maybe it'll make people think twice before carrying out an attack, but something's got to change.
Well, we're right. And I think really what does have to change, obviously the lottery, the visa.
Oh, yeah.
That's has
crazy.
To change. And on my morning show today, there were two judges in particular that really stopped stopped Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, from eliminating this diversity visa program. And Senator Chuck Schumer was behind it. It was actually known as the Schumer Act, and this goes back to 1986, 1990. It was a different iteration of that in 1995, and when it became the Schumer Act, and 50,000 a year come in from these various countries. So, but it's interesting that there are two federal judges two judges, federal judges that were appointed by Obama, Judge Derek Watson from Hawaii, and also Judge Theodore Chuang, or I'm not even sure how you pronounce that last name, from Maryland, both Obama appointees who stopped the Donald Trump's changes to the executive, or changes to the immigration. So that's very interesting, and I addressed that during the Doug Agman radio show this morning. But anyway, we have Lisa Haven with us. LisaHaven.news, an internet sensation, a remarkable investigative reporter, investigative journalist, citizen journalist, and again, internet sensation, YouTube sensation. I want to welcome Lisa Haven back to our program. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, man, we're excited to have you. Now, you know, we do have a problem, Lisa. There's not too much to talk about. not a whole lot going on, so I don't know.
Let's start with what we were talking about.
Yeah, let's start with
New York.
The New York City terror attack. Thoughts, your position on things.
You know, I get so mad at the mainstream media. I know we all do. But first of all, I mean, I'm hoping Donald Trump continues to push the whole fake news narrative as far as CNN and whatnot is concerned. But I mean, I was reading on the New York Times, and they're all, what do they call it? Plowing truck, instead of saying Islamic terrorist, you know?
Right.
Let's label it for what it is. And then what was it? Jake Tapper goes on media, and he's a CNN Communist News Network, and he calls the guy saying Allah Akbar like it's sometimes it's a beautiful thing, but other times, and I just wanted to slap him. You know, when you look at it all together, and you know, they're afraid to give it a label. They're afraid to label it as what it is. And I know Donald Trump has been labeling it, and I'm excited that is going on. But when these sickos, such as, you know, I can't even pronounce the guy's name, Souful, I don't know. But he's a sicko. He is a sicko to take his truck and plow, you know, a bike path. 8 people dead, leaving 11 injured like that. We have a massacre. If it wasn't for the cop that shot the guy within seconds, it could have been a lot worse. that these are the kind of people that we're dealing with. And he had no rhyme or reason if kids were there or any of that. It didn't matter. It was just, let's kill as many Westerner people as we can. Why? Because at the very core of the Islamic faith, and I think that's what we have to go back to, is what are these people really believing? You know, what is the core of their faith that's going to drive someone to do these ludicrous acts? And that is what the mainstream media is ignoring, the very foundation of what drives them to do what they're doing.
Absolutely. That's right. And if I can, I just want to say this. You know, we see when there is a terror attack with a gun, we always see the media instantly jumping into gun control mode, you know, talking about banning weapons, banning semi-automatic rifles, on and on and on and on. And as you said, never actually talking about the ideology that drives the behavior. And if we looked at it from that same perspective today, we would be talking about banning trucks. You know, we could go on and on. I saw some really funny comments about, you know, automatic transmissions and comparing AAA to the NRA, and it was really funny. But no, that's the problem we have. And also, there's a story from the Daily Caller. Media worries about Islamophobia after NYC attack. This is another response that we see from the liberal media. Every time we see a terror attack, all these people are coming out saying how, you know, we better not hear any Islamophobia today. You know, you bigots, you know, keep your mouth shut. This isn't about Islam. We also had the New York City police terror, or one of the very top positions on the New York City police force, NYPD intel chief, says this is not about Islam. This is not about what mosque he attended. So you have these defenders, the people who come out and instantly defend the actions of the terrorist, never wanting to talk about the ideology of Islam and the dangers that that ideology poses. They just want to defend it, and that is really frustrating.
It is, and here's the other thing. Let's go. I think, you know, this is sarcasm a little bit, but I think it was all sparked from that commercial that they aired recently, right, where you have the minority group of kids. It was the George Soros-funded commercial. You probably know the one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You have the Gillespie vehicle, you know, the redneck truck vehicle going after these kids, basically plowing your minority groups. I think they had it backwards. The Muslims should have been the one in the vehicle.
Jeez.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, did they get inspiration from that? Because that's normally what happens. If you go overseas and you look what happens in London and the UK and just everywhere, it's they're plowing people in vehicles. Let's at least get the commercial right?
Exactly. And, you know, you said it was a Soros-funded commercial. That was a campaign commercial, correct?
Yeah. He had money in it somewhere. I'll have to funnel through my notes, but there's money from him somewhere in it.
Right.
But yes, it was, yes, obviously.
And poor taste. It was just in a horrible taste, I thought.
Yeah. I thought so. Very horrible. And then shortly thereafter, here we have, you know, another terrorist attack. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, but it's just crazy. But I think it all boils down to, like you guys were saying, they want to go after our guns. They want to go after the NRA, and that's what they turn it into because that's all they have to turn it into. But what they ignore is the fact that the cop shot the guy and prevented more killings within, you know, seconds of the thing happening. He saved lives as a result of having a gun and being able to stop that guy from doing more damage, because the bad guy always gets the guns. That's what they're never taught on the far left. Bad people will get guns no matter the rules, regulations in place. So the rules and regulations are in place just for the good guys.
Exactly.
As guns are concerned.
And Lisa, you mentioned, our guest is Lisa Haven, and she really needs no introduction. Everyone watching this show, whether it's live or via archive or listening, I guarantee you, you know Lisa Haven. She is just a vent. She's a dynamo. And she's, I'll tell you what, we get a lot of, I watch her all the time. I get a lot of information from Lisa Haven. But you said something, and I want to touch on this, because one thing that, I'm not sure how many people had saw this. I had actually there in my office three different monitors on three different networks plus the computer watching the whole thing unfold yesterday. And the one thing when they identified him as saying as getting out of the truck and yelling Allahu Akbar to a station, with the exception of Fox News, had on the lower third
God is great.
Yeah, the words suspects shouted "God is great" in Arabic.
Or if they didn't say that, they said,
"Well, hang on." Here's my point. Fox is the only one that said suspects shouted "Allahu Akbar," and to me, that's a subliminal kind of thing taking place there. That's kind of what I wanted to just, you know, to kind of add on to what you were saying. And I think words matter, and words mean things, and the perception of how things are sent out, they mean things. I don't know if you caught that, but I thought that was a little bit disingenuous.
Yeah, 100%. Because why? Because there's a difference between Allah Akbar, because a lot of people do associate that with the negative, considering everything that's happened over the years, because that's what everybody yells before they blow themselves up or plow people over. It's unfortunate and it's sad and it's heartbreaking. So now they're saying, it's almost as if you get the feeling, God is good, bam, let me kill you. So you get this idea that you're parading into people's minds that God is bad. Obviously that is not the case. Now the God that they're serving that wants to go and kill people is not the God that you and I serve, you know? Amen. Although some will tell you otherwise, but that's just not the case. It's not true. And so for them to call that God like the God we serve, because it's a very general sense that they're using, you kind of get this vibe as a listener, and I guess it's a mind manipulation technique, if you want to label it as such, that's what it is. And it's just that let's put the whole idea that God is not good. How do we do that? Well, we don't even have to say Allah Akbar, God is good. We can just say God is good, and then associate that term with the death of all these people. So there's a lot of problems that can come into play like that, and I think you're walking a very fine line when you do that. When we are talking about, you know, the Islamic faith and religion, I actually, a couple of years ago, I did this whole write-up on, you know, the Christian Antichrist and the Muslim Savior, and show like the similarities between the two. So if you take the Bible, which obviously we serve a different God than they serve, that's not our God. But if you take the Bible, it's almost like the Islamic faith has literally flipped it on its back upside down, at least the book of Revelation, kept in a bit of truth, but made our Antichrist their Savior. And that's why there's all kinds of stuff in the Quran and the Hadith and all the things that they read that say things like make war with the unbelievers and hypocrites. That's in their Surah 973, and I'm quoting off of that. But slay the idolaters wherever you find them. That would be Christians. Anyone who doesn't believe in the Islam, arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush. That's Surah 973. And also 47:4, when you see the unbelievers, strike off their heads. Which we know in the book of Revelation, there is a scripture saying that in the latter days, they will basically cut your heads off. And here they have in the Islamic religion saying that they want to cut the heads off of those who do not believe in Islam. So when it's this polar opposite that you see, and it's a very scary place to be, but I think that's why it does boil down to some of the ideology. Now, I'm going to go on a little bit there. There are some in the Muslim faith who are obviously, or in Islamic faith, who are not radicalized. They are, you know, they take those particular scriptures and say, oh, it's just a mentality. They don't mean literal. Well, if we were to compare that, it's like some of the radical Islam thinks those Islamists are kind of watered down Islam, if you will. And these are the hardcore Islams, kind of like Christian. We have Christianity, we have watered down Christianity, but that's kind of how they view it all together. But it does boil down to that ideological line.
Yeah, and Lisa, you know, you make a great point about the them when they say, you know, Allah Akbar, when they're giving the English translation, God is greater. They don't make that distinction, you know, that the Muslims don't believe in the same God as Christians do, for one, and two. In the context that it's being said, it's a battle cry. It is saying, I read an article on the Daily Wire today, they made the argument that it's saying Allah is greater. Either way, for Jake Tapper or anybody else on CNN to hide the fact or conceal it, to conceal or defend Islam is crazy, and for them to, you know, to compare it to being a beautiful saying is after... or in the context of this terror attack in any way, it's crazy that they would do that. But this is, you know, where the media has been lately. They have been so far removed from reality that we see just this disconnect of the facts, and that it's so hard and frustrating, as I said earlier, to deal with a media that is so far removed from any semblance of reality. Do you think that with the American people who are watching, casually observing or on a regular basis watching these mainstream networks, do you think that they're able to see through the lines?
If they're watching other news media, or if they're getting information from friends or people outside of that, it's unfortunate, but there's people out there, they'll just flip on the TV when some big event comes on, whatever channel it lands on, you know, but then, you know, it's a lot of people are kind of on this normalcy bias still. I see, like, I've talked to people on the street because I'm very political. Right. So I want to find out if I go sit down next to someone, hey, what are you doing? You know, tell me about your views or whatever. And a lot of them have no idea. They're like, well, I haven't thought about that in a long time. And that's what I get a lot. And it's kind of like, oh, God, it's heartbreaking, because it's if we ignore it, the problem will continue to grow and get worse. And when your brain goes straight to channels like just the most popular pick, which that's what everybody goes to. I mean, you go to work out, or go to a restaurant, or go to a bar, you're going to see CNN on there, or Fox. I'm starting to see more of Fox. I hope they start switching over. But there are, unfortunately, people who will just follow the narrative, listen to the story, and move on and live their lives and ignore everything else that's going on now. That said, I think with Donald Trump coming up, that woke up a lot of people. Because since he's been in office, and I've talked to people politically, you know, on the street or whatever, more people are aware politically than I think have been in 10, 15 years. You know, because of what happened with Obama and then Donald Trump getting in, with all this anti-globalization finally rising to the forefront. People are mad at the UN. We have Brexit going on. So I see a huge wake up going on. So now with Donald Trump telling people to question the mainstream media, specifically CNN, people are actually starting to question CNN. And with me and you and InfoWars and all the other channels that are rising to the forefront saying, hey, look, this is the real story. Look, CNN lied to you and said the guy was white and he's black, or he's black and he's white. Here's the photos. You know, these are actual things that happen, and people are going online now, and they're starting to wake up because of what we are doing. And I think we're making a big impact, and I honestly don't think they expected that.
No, I agree with you, and I think you're right, and I hope more people you know, are able to see through the lies of the mainstream media and the bias that it has, and get out of that bubble and go find the truth for themselves, you know, wherever that may lead them. Lisa, I want to kind of switch gears here a little bit. We see the same kind of media craziness with a lot of these stories I want to get into. I want to ask you about November 4th. This, I don't know, what is it, the Day of Rage, whatever, the Antifa movement. I've seen some flyers. There was also a full, on InfoWars, they had an article about a full page ad taken out in the New York Times promoting this November 4th Day of Rage, saying Trump and Pence had to go. It's time that this, regime is over. And there's a number of cities that it looks like they're going to be on alert. Atlanta is one of them. But there's about 12 or 15 cities on a list that are the main points of organization for this November 4th movement. Do you think it's going to be a dud? Do you expect to see many people show up in some of these cities? What do you expect to see on November 4th?
Yeah, I think people will actually go out. The reason I think that is because they've already been out. Now, I don't think it'll be thousands and thousands of people like we saw with the Women Hate March. But I think there will be, you know, groups of people. They could vary in size depending on the city that they're in. And this is just my personal opinion. We know Project Veritas got in there and exposed the fact that some of them were actually planning on being violent, how to stab a conservative, and all this kind of crazy stuff that came out in those private meetings. So that's a bit scary. But the reason I say they actually will come out is because they've promoted this thing for months, number one. Number two, they've already came out and shown us that they're capable of doing damage and wreaking havoc and chaos. And three, I mean, they're kind of like the old weather underground, if we want to label it that way, but they're really getting nitty-gritty with it, and they're going out there, and like, as you know, they stopped traffic and saying it all begins November 4th. And I don't think it's going to be some big, crazy, chaotic thing. I think the police are aware of it. I think, you know, they kind of know the areas they're going to be in. But I think there will be riots, demonstration, probably some things, you know, happen, you know, that would happen at a normal riot. People might get stabbed, may not, you know, but I think, the purpose of it is that basically they want to get out there and wreak havoc. And in their protests like they've usually done and cover their faces like cowards. You know, if you're going to go out there and do that stuff, at least show your face. That's, you know, show your face. Show the people who you are. And I have to question Antifa, if any of them are probably listening, you know they probably are. Why hide it? Why hide it? Are you ashamed of what you do? And that, I think, needs to be a question that's addressed because, hey, if you're not ashamed and you think it's the right thing, then why are you covering up? You know,
you know what, Lisa, this is the first time I'm reporting on this, but again, I'm working with some investigators volunteering for the Northeast Intelligence Network, a group I founded, and we are providing some information to local law enforcement when and where applicable. But some of the information I have is that November 4th is kind of the start. But one of the things that disturbed me the most is some plans to take this to various neighborhoods in suburban areas, and they're planning. And now, this is what they are saying: they are planning home invasions. They're planning on a helter-skelter kind of activity. All right, and I'm not going to go further into that except to say that it's very asymmetric in terms of what they're planning, the warfare, and they are armed and they are trained, interestingly enough, trained by ISIS in some cases. So I don't know if you've heard that or not.
I've heard pieces of it. I haven't heard about the home invasions that they were planning on doing, but I don't doubt that. I think they're a radical group. I think they should be labeled as a terrorist group. And I do, they're, like you said, they have, now I believe, are working with ISIS, which that's a scary thought because we have the left and ISIS working together. So I'm not trying to say that it won't happen. I think there will be violence. Let me clarify. I think things will happen. We don't know what the extent till the day of. And like you said, it's a continuing thing. So they don't plan on stopping on November 4th. They plan on it continuing on. Now, what that continuation actually looks like, I guess that's to be determined. But I think from what you're telling me, you think it could involve home invasions, going forward of maybe even people like what we do, the things that we do, we could be a target.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing, too. Go out and assassinate the people who talk bad about them. Go out and assassinate, you know, the Lisa Havens, the Hagmans, the anyone with a presence. And the bigger presence, the bigger the target. And so this is what we're hearing. And, of course, the police can't act on pre-crime, but the conspiracy aspect of that, they're very well aware of it. And So I just want to mention that, but yeah, the fourth, it's my understanding the fourth is just the kickoff, and they're gonna increase as they can. So, and now Joe, you are,
you know, I got a few different feelings about this. Although I do agree that those tactics may be employed in the future, I just don't see that happening.
Well, I don't see it happening on the 4th necessarily.
No. I don't see this picking up momentum either. And hopefully I'm right about this. Hopefully it's a dud. Hopefully there, you know, if anything happens, it's in a few cities and it's only on Saturday. And the police, obviously, as we saw in Charlottesville, did not take any action, you know, in stopping the violent protests versus the people who had permits to be there. This is only going to be a one-sided rally. And hopefully the police in each jurisdiction understand when and where things are going to kind of happen in order to have the personnel ready in case things do get out of hand. But I don't see that energy. I mean, Lisa, I want to ask you this. Paul Joseph Watson did a great video on a rally against Mike Cernovich that Antifa was a part of, that NAMBLA was also a part of. And on this banner, it said, "No Mike Cernovich, no pedo bashing." And so, what's this about?
Yeah, where
Antifa is teaming up with the National Association for Man Boyd Love?
Yeah, yeah.
Boyd.
Association? I don't know, yeah. NAMBLA, that's all I know it as.
It's sick. I mean, just look at the Islamic religion. I don't know. I think there's a belief in there that you can be a man and go after a boy. Maybe that's part of the love affair of the radical Islam and the ISIS with this leftist group. And, you know, I really hope they don't gain momentum also. But I saw that banner, and I'm like, what idiots. Like, it shows, I guess, the banner and the fact that it was their biggest banner and they were all standing behind it like it was amazing.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, my God. I wanted to slap the people, but I'm like, they're idiots. Let them show their idiocy, because I think that, you know, obviously maybe it'll wake some people up if they were actually thinking about this Antifa group, or I don't know. But it shows the kind of education level of the people that, you know, the mainstream media are brainwashing, that those in the Hillary camp are attempting to weed over to their side or to pull over to the left side. But I think it really shows the mentality of where those people are. And that was one of the sickest things I could have read, but it also comes from a very sick group of people, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, I saw that banner, I saw that report, and my jaw dropped. I'm like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, I thought that
was disgusting on so many levels.
But when I saw the video today, I thought, you know, this can't be right. This can't be real. But sure enough, That was not just a Paul Joseph Watson putting out a fake thing. These people actually held a banner that said no pedo bashing and had their two logos right next to each other. And, you know, more, if this is the way they want to present them, if this is who they want to team up with, and this is how they want to present themselves to the American people, more power to them. I wish them all the luck in the world, but I don't.
Yeah. Saying that makes me think they won't grab momentum in the future, because people will be like, yeah, that's way, you know, over the top. So I have hope. I think a lot of it can be stomped out beforehand, if, you know, the government, I guess, goes at it the right way, if you will.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's just insanity. There's a few other places I want to go, Lisa. One, the JFK files. Have you had time to go through any of the released data, and have you found anything interesting?
A few things. Kind of some of the stuff I'm sure you guys already talked about.
We haven't really talked about it on the show yet.
Oh. Well, one of the things was that came out, there was a paragraph. Maybe I'll pull it up, but I'm going to try to say it from memory. But there was a paragraph in there. And I've got a report on it. It's called Two Files You Should See from the JFK. And this particular paragraph reveals that when there was a shot basically from the front, we know Oswald was up high, you know, coming from the window, it came from the front and through the windshield of the vehicle. So it proved the conspiracy theory that people said all along, because there was over six witnesses that spoke of this bullet that came through the windshield that they never wanted to talk about. So there's another bullet from that windshield that has been proven now as a fact, no longer a conspiracy, which people knew back then, because there was too many witnesses that were legit witnesses to say that was that bullet. That was a huge one. Another thing that came out in the file was, I don't even really know what it's in, why it was in there, but they had planned Operation Mongoose, which you may have brought up before, but that was in the JFK files, where they talked about attempting to kill some refugees who were coming over from Cuba in order to frame it on Castro so they could take Castro to war. Obviously a false flag attempt, or they were talking about doing this false flag attempt. So that was another thing that came out in the JFK files. Then there was a strange reference to Hitler being alive after World War II. I had to, like, verify that one. I'm like, and then I saw it on InfoWars. I'm like, I think this is good. But that was intriguing to me. But that there was reference talk that Hitler was still alive after World War II. So those are the three biggest things that I know that have came out so far.
You know, I don't have much doubt about the latter, about Hitler being alive. I just question how that came out in that tranche of files, really. But okay.
Yeah, like, what's it doing in there? I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And the shot through the windshield, I thought was very interesting, because I do remember that. I remember attending a lecture, this is back early 1970s, I think it was, by Mark Lane. Many people know him, one of the premier researchers of this. And I believe at that time he had mentioned the windshield, bullet hole in the windshield in the front shot. But having said all of that, very, very interesting nonetheless. The release, how many, we didn't get all of them yet, did we? Or did we?
No, I think we're still 300 shy. So they released 2,800, but we're 300 some odd shy. That's my estimate. But I know that Trump had, if I remember correctly, don't quote me on this, it was a six-month period that he was going to wait, sit on it, and try to release it again, I think.
Gotcha. All right. Fantastic. Yeah. And, of course, we're talking with Lisa Haven. LisaHaven.news is her website. Find her on YouTube as well. Everything's connected via her website, which is a fantastic website, by the way. I go there for show prep, and anytime I'd like to watch her, of course. And many people asking, Diesel there with you?
Yeah. Okay. I'm here, Diesel. How are you?
All right.
Look.
I
say hi to
Kiva. See, there's Diesel. Now,
did you dress him up for Halloween, Lisa?
There you go.
I know, I should have. I didn't. You didn't get dressed up, did you?
Well, we have a lady, the studio dog, here, and we have Theo, Eric and Jackie's dog, and they dressed him up. They had a few costumes for him. They put him in a Batman costume, and then he came to the studio as a lobster man, which was pretty funny. We put a couple of tweets up on Hagman Report about that. Always
pretty
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, how cute.
Well, thank you for that. Many people will be happy to see your buddy there, Diesel, as well. So we appreciate that. A little levity. You know, it's really, isn't this kind of, do you find that what we're seeing, I mean, between the attack in New York City, the geopolitics, the, my goodness, the Mueller indictments, man, it's so oppressive. Isn't that, wow.
It is. There's bad things happening and there's good things happening. And I think we need to keep that in perspective. There hasn't been a lot of headway for many years. And so I could say the fact that the uranium one and all that, the cat is finally coming out of the bag, the Podesta brothers are coming to the forefront. Things are getting exposed with the actual evidence. And then at the same time, you know, we have the terrorist attacks. We had the Vegas shooting. We had loss of life. But I think at the same level, anytime that stuff starts getting exposed, we know recently the DNC got exposed for funding they helped fund the Christopher Steele fake dossier. And now we have another shooting, you know, there in New York. So the recent shooting anyway. And so we have, I don't know if, you know, some of it's in play, some of it can be distraction, but the DNC, Clinton, the Podestas, they're all in trouble. And at the same time, we have this battle going on. People like us are exposing this stuff, but people like CNN, MSNBC, ABC, we're fighting with, who will give it 5 seconds of talk time and then go and push a fake narrative of Russian Trussell or Paul Manafort or whoever they want to push out that day to just ignore what's going on with the Democratic Party with the Uranium One deal. But hopefully people are waking up to that. So there is good happening, but it's coming with some bad. And I don't think the globalists are done with us. I think that they're going to plan more events. They're going to plan more stuff because their dirt is coming up and they don't like it.
You know, I've been following, since Peter Schweizer came out with Clinton Cash, I've been following the Uranium One story, and, the Clinton Cash really set the foundation, the foundational, facts for Uranium One. And then from there, we've been learning more and more. This to me is, it's nothing short. I mean, this is treasonous, and I can't believe some of the people who drink the Kool-Aid on the social networking trying to say, well, this has all been debunked. You know, it's rumored and it's been debunked. Snopes coming out and saying that, and of course, there are what do you call those? Well, just images containing all this paragraph of just baloney. But I'll tell you something. I mean, consider if this were the 1950s and this would have come out, I think the reaction of the American people would be a little bit different, considering it's the material used for atomic weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're ignoring. I mean, 20% of our uranium, this is used for atomic weapons, and we're not going to say that's treasonous. We're going to ignore it, and we're going to turn and not pay attention to that. Why? We're talking, you know, stuff that can make bombs and, you know, nuclear weapons, and we're just going to turn a blind eye to it. Stuff that we've gone to war with Iraq, right?
For.
And yet we're going to allow the Clintons and we're going to allow the Obama administration to turn a blind eye to this. And obviously we have key players who are the same people that are investigating Donald Trump right now. The same ones that turned and were investigating back then, right? Are investigating now for the most part. And it's all one-sided. And, so, I mean, I just hope that more of it continues to surface. And obviously it would be nice to see someone from the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton specifically, go to jail. I don't know if or when that will ever happen, but they're definitely fighting some pretty big players right now. And, you know, so we're making headway, I guess, but we've got a long, long, long way to go.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the Manafort indictment, Richard Gates, and of course but your thoughts on those? I mean, to me, they didn't make too much sense. I guess let me just say this: it almost read the 31-page indictment. I went through it, and it almost read like kind of a press release almost, as opposed to an indictment. It was kind of weird how it was framed.
Now, I haven't read the indictment yet, but as far as what's going on in that situation, I have to ask this question. I am sure there are hundreds of other senators and people who have offshore accounts, if you will, like Manafort. And so I think this is just they're pulling straws and making a claim in order to indict someone because they don't want it to be themselves. I think it's just a distraction. They want to aimlessly attempt to push the Russian narrative on Trump any way they can do this. And they're using that route to do that. Meanwhile, they're in bed with them, you know, and they're not saying anything and they're refusing. And just like Chucky Schumer said, you know, we have six ways of Sunday that the intelligence committee has six ways of Sunday at getting back at you. Well, that's what they're doing. I think that's all this is about. Let's just get back at, you know, people who were involved with Donald Trump, but yet ignore what we're doing over here. And that's what we can see plain as day happening, because we know we could probably pull dirt on pretty much every, you know, senator out there or congressman or whatever. They've got something somewhere, you know, to be at that level of where they're at. And there is a lot of blackmail going on. I know I've had friends who have been in Congress who talk very much about they pull up dirt, they blackmail you, they do certain things to you. It's a very manipulative world. And so I think that's just a part of their chessboard game.
Absolutely. And moving from the political world over to the media and the entertainment industry, we've been seeing a whole lot of these sexual assault and harassment claims that have not only engulfed Hollywood, but now we are seeing a number of media personalities being named and having to step down. And I got a short list here. You have the former CEO of NPR? I don't know where my list went here. But anyway, there was a whole bunch of them. And on The Daily Show, we talked about this. You have Mark Halperin. You have a number of people in the media are being outed. And I saw here it is, Panic Hits Hollywood and Press. Which harasser will be outed next? So you have that. You have Dustin Hoffman was accused today. You have more Kevin Spacey accusations. You have this whole Harvey Weinstein thing. You have the Corey Feldman angle of this. And it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. Do you think that people are coming out now because it's very convenient to do so, because we're seeing other people speak out? And why do you think it is that even, you know, 20, 30 years after the fact, people are speaking out now? Is it a move to become more relevant? Are they finally finding it an acceptable time to tell their story? What do you think is behind this?
You know, I'd love to do a little more research on that and see, because my thought is, I wonder how many of those, like, support you know, Donald Trump, if you will, or like have come out, because it's almost as if they're attempting, it's like they're picking and choosing, well, let's purge this guy and this guy and this guy, because Lord knows, you know, somebody, no, I mean, I'm just going to be real, you know, if you're a dude, right, you probably touch somebody's butt somewhere in some way on accident, whether, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of these things, so, oh my God, he touched my butt 10 years ago, or, you know, I mean, like, okay, I get it, but this has been 30 years from now or 20 years from now. So what I see is this is deliberately done. That's all I can leave, you know, think, because why is it all of a sudden all these people at once? I don't think it's, oh, it's a coincidence. Oh, he told on me. Now I should come out. Now I should come out. I don't see that. I guess I lean more towards a conspiracy, if you want to label it that way, that there's got to be a deeper reason as to why it's all happening and why are they picking, you know, certain people out, which I still need to do some research on and find out why. Have you guys gotten a chance to do any of that or thought about that?
Not really. I mean, we talked about what you just laid out was something with the Harvey Weinstein case that we discussed, that it was, there was other motivations behind the timing of the release. And our suggestions on that, I think, are proven true the more accusers come out. And I think the list was up to 70 plus people last time we saw. And we know that back in 2004, the New York Times was supposed to write a big story on this, and they got talked out of it. So this is something that they've known about Harvey Weinstein forever. And now you see the media coordinated attack along with his own company firing him. It looked like there was some kind of motivation there. But as we see from him being in whatever type of rehab he's in, some type of intensive outpatient, he's got some messiah complex issues.
I think he was released. I mean, he's cured now. I think he was in there, 3 days?
Yeah, he's not cured.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
It's sick what they're doing, and maybe it's one of, and maybe it could be, oh, since you really, I mean, Harvey Weinstein was obviously one of the first, since his dirt got released, he may have said, okay, let's release the dirt on these other guys. You know, that could be something else that's under play is, oh, well, you released my dirt, now I'm letting it all out of the bag. You know what I'm saying? So it could have been something to that level, which I think is a possibility too. It's like all the blackmails, saying, oh, we're going to drop that, we're letting it out, you know, kind of a thing could be going on as well. So do you think that's a possibility?
Possibly. You know, I think that you mentioned the word conspiracy. And I think by definition, I think that there is one there. It's a conspiracy of silence. And I think that that's fed by things like, well, you know, if you want this job or you want to keep your position, which is a good position, and you know, you think about that Hollywood mentality, I think that plays into that a little bit. So I think there's a lot of reasons. And you know, you go back to Bill Clinton too, the Clinton mentality, where Hillary protected, and some people might argue about this, but Bill Clinton being the type of abuser he is perhaps allegedly, and how Hillary Clinton had covered his tracks. I think you saw a lot of that in Hollywood, but I think, there's something else going on. You're right. There's something else that we're not quite, we haven't identified yet. You know?
Yeah. I want to spend some time and see what are the political beliefs. What are the, I don't know, it would just be nice to just look and see. Now, what these people are doing is absolutely wrong. I don't, you know, agree with their actions. I think it's horrible, especially Weinstein, what's going on with that. But I think there is a little more of the story that we're not getting, considering the timing, considering they're all coming out at the same time. There's got to be more to it.
Indeed. Lisa Haven is our guest. LisaHaven.news is her website. You can find her on internet, on YouTube, where she's got 78 trillion followers, the population of the globe, basically. No, she's just really knocking it out of the park with her video segments. And there it is if you're watching YouTube on the screen. And she's just a treasure, as far as we're concerned, in the truth movement and those seeking the truth. Lisa, what else here? We've got, probably another 10 minutes left of our time together, maybe a little bit less. the EMP drill on the 4th, Joe just kind of said, make sure you ask her about that, but that and any place else you want to go. Your thoughts on the EMP drill as well as whatever else we haven't covered.
Yeah, the EMP drill, that's held by the National Association for Amateur Radio and MARS, your military auxiliary thing. They're also basically the same ARV as your ARRL, the radio arm of the military. So they're having in conjunction on November 4th through the 6th, I believe, yep, simulating a very bad day scenario in which they are going to take part of an exercise where a CME hits the earth, which impacts the power grid, and all the telephone, cable, satellite, internet, all that's knocked out. So it's kind of a drill to prepare for that. Now, we've had multiple of these drills in the past, different organizations. We've had similar ones with ARRL and MARS conduct, you know, similar kind of things in the past. But it's intriguing to me that now we have this drill on the same day that Antifa is doing their uprising on the 4th of November. Now, could it be that they want some military out and about in case there is an uprising with Antifa? Who knows? I'm not saying that is the case or isn't the case. I'm just saying, you know, hey, it would be nice if we had, you know, if somebody was there anyway, but they had, the drill is only, I think it's in, I don't remember the location, but it's not going to be all over the place. So it, obviously they couldn't help a great deal with Antifa there. But anyhow, I just find it interesting that they are going to coincide on the same day, call it a coincidence or whatever, but they do have drills periodically, different kinds of drills. And what I have noticed is that they've been upping these more and more and more. And I don't know if that's the vulnerability because we're hackable or because they foresee something for sure in the future, or because we have tensions with Russia, or because of the tensions North Korea. I guess you could say Russia too, but we have North Korea tensions who have, you know, the capability of doing an EMP. That was actually divulged 20 years ago, but they even have satellites that go over our skies here. So they have the technology, they have the capability. I know they did a test recently in North Korea, where it killed, you know, some people on this test that they were going to do on one of their ICBMs, I believe. But it's this kind of stuff that makes me think, gosh, they're preparing pretty hardcore. Now, I know earlier this year I reported that FEMA held a pretty massive drill simulating this very same thing where it was a CME and they practiced for a CME. And so they imagined the power grid being taken out. And they only had a plan up to, I think, 6 months. After 6 months, they really didn't have an answer on how to solve it because it was going to take 4 to 10 years or something like that, depending on the area, to fix the power grid altogether, depending on the devastation that was caused by an EMP. So it's like they really don't even have an answer. And that's what the American people need to know. They can do these drills, but if we hit, depending on when it hits, where it hits, and all of that, I mean, it could be, you know, one area, it could be a massive area. I mean, worst case scenario would be they take out a portion of America and then we're in a lot of trouble. But if that happens, something like that, then we're talking 4 to 10 years to fix the grid. And there isn't really plans beyond 6 months on how the government can handle that. So that's why I always tell people that they need to be prepared. They need to be ready for anything, because we just don't know when anything is going to happen, if or when. I mean, people weren't told when earthquakes hit. You know, people aren't told, you know, hey, there's going to be a shooting in Vegas. It happens. That's the way it is. We don't know the timing on anything. So that's why I'm a huge, you know, proponent on prepping and just being ready in the event of anything. And nobody can actually put a time stamp on when any of that will happen because we just don't know. But it's just a good thing to be ready altogether.
Absolutely right. And, you know, one of the things that concerns a lot of people out there who see these EMP drill and other drill type scenarios is that we so often see that drills have a tendency to go live. And we saw this with 9/11, I mean, over and over and over again. And even people in Las Vegas were saying there was a FEMA mass shooting drill that took place that same day. So when people see this, you know, EMP drill, they start to wonder, will this go live? And is this more than a drill? But as you said, as the report states, it is a simulated attack on the power grid. So I don't think we should worry now, but we should be aware that it's there, as well as if the power goes out, we should know pretty quickly how that happened. We only have about a minute and a half left, Lisa. Anything that we didn't get into that you wanted to talk about?
I think we got into most of it, and I would just add to what you were saying. Just make sure, you know, take it in as you know what's the possible thing that could happen. Like anything else, you know, a pandemic has happened in history's past. It can happen again. We can have another Carrington event. If you know, a 1980, what was it? 18, I don't remember the year. Do you remember the year? But the Carrington event,
yeah.
Basically, if 52. It were to happen to 1852, something like that. But it will knock out the whole power grid, or it could knock out a huge chunks of the power grid. Something like that could happen again. We just don't know. So that's why, you know, play it safe, do what you can, get informed, and stand up, I guess, when we can. So politically speaking.
You're exactly right. And the Carrington event was, I'm sorry, 1859. That was the most powerful geomagnetic storm. During a solar max cycle where we got a CME and it burned a lot of the telegraph lines. And if we had that same event today,
it should have knocked all the television stations off air too.
Yeah. But if
yeah.
we had that same thing happen today, it would be a major disaster for the power grids, not only of America, but all across the world. And we've done a lot of work on the EMP here and had many authors come on to talk about this. And have even had authors on who have very cheap, affordable solutions to some of these problems, from battery power to solar power. And it is definitely something we're going to keep our eyes on. Also, don't forget, this weekend we set the clocks back on Sunday. So a lot going on this weekend. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure, as always.
Thank you.
Folks, find Lisa on YouTube, as well as her website, lisahaven.news. And
immensely popular.
We follow her. We watch her videos regularly, and it's always a pleasure to have her on the show. We are up against our break. We'll be back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this Wednesday edition of the Hagman Report.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com. Precious